Tonight, former National Signals Bureau boss Kwabena Edubuahin charged with 11 counts, including stealing, defrauding by false pretense, and causing financial loss to the state in a $7 million contract scandal. We're live at the courts where Mr. Edubuahin and his wife have been pleading not guilty. We're also live tonight at the Information Services Department, where the Attorney General is set to address a news conference. Top story, as always, is brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies, Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. My name is Faustina Safo. Please stay for details. Tonight, it is the first major corruption trial of the John Mahama administration, and the Attorney General has decided to go with a bang. In the last couple of hours, the former National Signals Bureau boss, Kwabena Edubuahin, has been charged with 11 counts, including stealing, defrauding by false pretense, and causing financial loss in a $7 million contract scandal. Now, we will be going live to the court shortly, but first, the Attorney General is now set to also address a major news conference in the next few minutes. My colleague Kwekwa Asante is there for us. He joins me live with more. Kwekwa, I want us to start with details of these charges against the former National Bureau's boss. What exactly is in it?
Yes, Christina, you're standing by waiting for the Attorney General, who is currently in court, laying out these charges against Mr. Kwabena Edubuahin, Angela Edubuahin, that is the wife of Kwabena Edubuahin, 1 Mildred Donko, and then Advantage Solutions Limited. These are the four persons that the Attorney General has filed these charges against. Count one is stealing. Contrary to the Criminal and Other Offenses Act, the allegation is that Kwabena Edubuahin, on or about February 5, 2020 in Accra and within the jurisdiction of the court, did under the guise of procuring a cyber defense system for the Republic of Ghana, dishonestly appropriate the sum of about 27 million and 100,000 Ghana cedi belonging to the Republic. That's a count two having to do with stealing, another allegation that he stole again about 21 million Ghana cedi belonging to the public. The count three is also stealing, contrary to Section 12 of the Criminal and Other Offenses Act. If you look at count five, it says defrauding by false pretenses, contrary to Section 13(1) of the Criminal and Other Offenses Act. It says, Kwabena Edubuahin, that you on or about February and March 2020 in Accra did by false pretense that you were going to buy a cyber security system for the Republic of Ghana, and that you did cause the government of Ghana to part with a sum of about 49.1 million Ghana cedis on that. Count six is willfully causing financial loss to the state. Count seven, using public office for profit, contrary to the Criminal Offenses Act. Count eight, collaboration to commit crime with using public office for profit, contrary to the Criminal Offenses Act. And this definitely relates to Angela Edubuahin, the wife of Mr. Edubuahin. Count nine is obtaining public property by false pretenses. And then count 10 is money laundering, contrary to Section 12, Section 1-2-C of the Anti-Money Laundering Act. And then the final count, count 11, is conspiracy to commit money laundering, contrary to Section 3 of the Anti-Money Laundering Act. So these are the 11 counts that have just been filed in court by the Attorney General against Kwabena Edubuahin, Angela Edubuahin, Mildred Donko, and Advantage Solutions Limited. The background is pretty simple. The state of the case is that in 2020, the Signals Bureau boss then, Kwabena Edubuahin, decided that the state needed some software from an Israeli company. The allegation is that that was expected to ordinarily cost the state about 49 million Ghana cedis. And that Kwame Dubois did form another company that had a name similar to the National Communications Bureau, and then transferred these amounts of money into that private account, and did send just a fraction of that to the Israeli company for the software and kept the rest for himself, and dissipated that amount of money, again, the allegations of the state, on real estate properties in Accra and other French ventures. And so it's been coming, the Attorney General did address a news conference laying out these allegations against Kwame Dubois. He promised that the charges will be filed somewhere before the middle of April. That hadn't come. And today is the last day of April. He has finally filed the charges. And the charges, as we know now, have all been read to Mr. Dubois, the wife, and the other accused in court. And they have pleaded not guilty to all these charges.
Thank you, Kweku, for joining us with that details. We've just been giving us background, and you're on the ground, really. And we know that there's another press conference coming up. The Attorney General is set to brief us. What exactly are we to expect? My colleague Kweku Asante just joining us live from the court, giving us updates. If you just tuned in, news coming in is that Kwabena Dubois-Heng has been charged with 11 counts, including stealing, defrauding by false pretense, and causing financial loss to the tune of $7 million in a contract scandal. And my colleague Kweku Asante has just been giving us a breakdown of this 11 different counts, and he's actually going to give us updates because the Attorney General is set to address a news conference. Kweku, I just wanted to find out what exactly we should expect.
So, Christina, the time have been changing for this news conference. It was expected to happen yesterday, or postponed to midday today, and has been moved to 4 p.m. And past 5:30 now, as we know, the Attorney General has still not yet addressed the news conference. But we do know exactly why the news conference has delayed. It's because the Attorney General and his deputy are at the High Court now pressing these charges against Mr. Dubois-Heng and the wife. And that process will have to end before the Attorney General will come here and explain what exactly he wants to talk to the public about. But among other things, we expect to get to know what the key issues are for government under their operation Recover All Loot, because the indication we are getting from our government survey is that in the coming days, in the coming weeks, a lot of charges are going to be filed against former NPP government appointees. And he has just led the way with Mr. Dubois-Heng. He is going to explain to the country why exactly it took this long to file this charge, when he had said in that news conference a couple of weeks back that he filed this charge before the end of March or by the middle of April. And I did cover that news conference. So he will explain that. He will also explain what exactly is to come for the other oral investigations, the Operation Recover Loot investigation. But also, we know the big topical issue currently, that is the suspension of the Chief Justice. If he does not address it, definitely he's going to face a barrage of questions from those of us who are here. He's going to explain from government perspective what they make of the claims that have been made by the Ghana Bar Association with respect to the suspension of the Chief Justice, Madame Gertrude Sokonu, the demand for that suspension to be revoked, and Madame Sokonu be allowed to get back and perform her duties as Chief Justice. All those questions I'm going to go to the Attorney General. He's going to address them. But what our expectation is, and the understanding we are getting from our sources, is that this press conference is going to be built on oral Operation Recover All Loot, what exactly government is doing about it, what prosecutions are going to come in the next few days, and what is the arsenal of government as regards to this. But for now, and the former Signals Group boss has been charged with about 11 counts together with the wife. They pleaded not guilty to all of that. We understand the bail conditions and bail issues will be sorted out by the court, because the earlier bail that was granted by Yoko is now not in effect, because the matter has now formally been put before a court of competent jurisdiction. The bail issues will have to be sorted, and then the Attorney General will come here. I'm just hearing a police dispatch rather driving towards here. It will be to have the Attorney General coming in now, together with the deputy, to address the news conference that we'll be expecting since 4 p.m.
Just reading the room, really, we're certain that this press conference will be coming up, and we just wanted to find out from you, Kweku, what's the presence like? Who are the individuals in that room as we await the Attorney General?
Except the government communications minister, Felix Kwasi, to be here, And my understanding is that he may already be in the building. I haven't seen him, but I've seen a couple of his staff around from the Department of Government Services at the City House, a number of them already around. But this is mainly the business of the Attorney General Department. And so you said the Attorney General himself, Dr. Lovely Kaine, his deputy, Dr. Jacques Yemtai, and other constituents and staffers of the Attorney General and Ministry for Justice, they are going to be here to lay out these propositions. And because of how key some of these propositions are going to be, perhaps we're going to get that much more major government backing for some of these issues that are going to come. Because they're going to say that they're losing patience with some of these things that are happening. But our understanding is that the Attorney General has just come, and the new conference is just starting. I'm just going to go into the building, and we're going to give the audience, both on TV and on radio, the proceedings. So this part that I heard was indeed the Attorney General, who has now walked into the IAB building. He's about to start addressing the press on what exactly steps they're taking with respect to oral and normal investigations that are happening. So the AG is taking the podium just about.
Now, just before the AG takes the podium, Kweku, let me just find out from you. Mr. Edu Boahing, he has been charged together with his wife. Have they met the bail conditions so far?
Well, the initial targets that were filed we are yet to get to confirm specifically what the bail conditions is in court today, and that is why it's being processed, and that is why the City Attorney General from coming here. So that will be dealt with pretty shortly. But Yoko did grant the wife of Mr. Duane 80 million Ghana City bill not to be justified. That was pretty easy for her to leave because the properties and other things that she has to show, they don't have to be justified. They're not going to be able to say, you have to show proof that there are properties and other things worth 80 million Ghana City for that. But the husband had to show justification for some of the bill document that they were issuing. And so those ones have to be dealt with. And that is why Mr. Zubani himself stayed in custody for a much longer period than the one. But ultimately, they did meet those bail conditions. But that were the bail conditions of Yoko, the Economic and Organized Crime Office. Once that was met, they were released. But four of these charges have now been filed on the matter of being before court. New bail conditions will be imposed. We'll get to know specifically what the new bail conditions are in this matter and whether or not they are going to meet you this very evening, tomorrow being a holiday, we'll just process it, we'll just keep them in custody. These are all issues that we'll get to know finally when the Attorney General mounts the podium. But the Senate officials have just seen him walk up a bill in the Information Ministry building, he's gone up there, they have to start a few issues and then come down before this new conference will be due.
Kweku, stay with us because we know that the AG is about to address that news conference. If you just tuned in, this is Top Story, and we're letting you know that the former National Signals Bureau boss, Kwabena Edu Boahing, he has been charged with 11 counts, including stealing, defrauding by false pretense, and also causing financial loss to the tune of $7 million in a contract scandal. Well, he's not alone. He's been charged together with his wife, and they have both pleaded not guilty. We're also live today at the Information Services Department, where the Attorney General is set to address a news conference and will be there live once it starts. Well, another major story we're following for you tonight is the revelation that Ghana is facing an imminent crisis as one of the country's major independent power producers has issued an immediate ultimatum to shut down their plants unless government pays them more than $1 million. Kapower contributes more than 400 megawatts to the national grid, and a shutdown will inflict a major national power crisis. Well, let's listen to the Energy Minister, John Jinapor, speaking exclusively to Joy News for a yet-to-be-aired interview on PM Express later tonight.
Pay 100 million immediately.
Immediately?
Immediately.
Immediately as in today?
Now.
And if you don't pay the $100 million?
They'll shut the plant. And if they shut the plant, there'll be a deficit of 450 megawatts minimum. And that'll be massive.
That'll be significant.
As we speak, occasionally, when we have a challenge, like I say, sometimes you run a deficit of about 90 or 120, but immediately you bring a plan to cover. And even with that, you hear people complaining. So you can imagine if you lose 450.
Can you fix that? Can you avert that?
We're meeting them. I'm meeting them with the finance minister on Friday. The first is to appeal to them that we're a new government. We need some time. Maybe finance minister may be able to come up with some money, even if we can't do the 100. But we also want to renegotiate their terms with them. They are the only company that has so far, let me not use the word refuse, that have so far not been able to agree on some renegotiated terms with government. All the IPPs have agreed. So I want to make a passionate appeal to Ohan. Look, we brought you into this country. And I think that being in government, they should play ball with us. If they shut the plant, we'll have load shedding. But it means there will be no power to sell. It means they won't get the money at all. Because at least it's better to pay what we are paying now. And since we came, you can check from the industry players. I've insisted that we adhere to the cash waterfall mechanism. I've gone to cabinet. I've given directives. Creating a single treasury account. So all the monies ECG collect goes into one account.
Have you closed all their 80 plus accounts?
I've closed them. The banks are not happy. They've been complaining. They've gone reporting.
Every single one of them?
Almost every account that I know of.
That's a possibility. You're leaving the possibility that there are some you don't know.
I'm minister. I sit here as minister. I ask for information. ECG gives me the information and I give the directive. So to the best of my knowledge, every account that ought to be closed has been closed.
You are certain on Friday, after the appeal, you can come up with some arrangement that should give you some reprieve at least until you can find $100 million for them.
I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful that we'll find a solution. It's not easy. It's tough. This is what we've inherited. Mm. But we have to deal with it. And as a government, you inherit the assets, you inherit the liabilities, you inherit the positive, you inherit some of the negative.
Well, we also have confirmation tonight that ECG will be broken up for private sector participation in a concession arrangement. Government is now set to open a competitive bidding process for private companies who want to participate to submit their bids.
We've gone to cabinet. Cabinet has chosen the option of concession. Okay. We are not selling ECG. And let me put this on record.
So that decision has now been made?
It's been made. Concession. We are not selling ECG. Far from that. And so ignore the misinformation, ignore the misconception. Cabinet has taken a definitive position that we require some level of private sector participation, but not to sell the company outright. So what are we talking about? And I try to put it simple. ECG will remain the holding company. So ECG has this room as ECG operational area. They divide into four or three. Roland Company, you take one. Yours is to manage that sector or that geographical area. At the end of the month, we check how much power came to you. Just hypothetically, maybe 20 megawatts. And so we check the gigawatt hours that you consumed. And we say that this is a price. Pay us. You pay ECG. How you collect the money is your cup of tea.
So you have to pay ECG upfront?
No, you put a deposit or a guarantee.
Okay.
We're taking a transaction advisor. Competitive bidding, competitive process. So they will get a very good company. So simply put, what you are going to do is to buy ball power from ECG and sell.
So
your duty is to sell that power, one. Your duty is to collect that power in terms of the money and put it in a dedicated account. ECG takes its, whatever is left is yours. If you can't, don't apply.
Under this arrangement, you would have not one private player like PDS.
So multiple concessions.
You have multiple concessions, so multiple private players. Mm. But which aspects? Is it geographical management or is it functional?
It will be geographical.
Geographical.
Already they have what they call boundary metering at the regional level. So let's assume that you have 20 boundary meters. So we know the power that flows at the regional level. So hypothetically, 20 regions, divide them into three or four. That means everybody has five regions. And I think that is a good approach. And I want to appeal to the public utility workers.
The workers are opposed to this approach.
Yes, I asked them, what do we do? Because we are heading for a ditch. I think the workers should be
how
interested.
How removed will you be, when I say you, the government and the political players, be from this process?
Because we are putting in place a 10-car committee that has men of integrity. And I want ECG represented. Even if TUC want to be represented, I want them represented. We are taking a transaction advisor through a competitive process. And I have my credibility and integrity. So I think the workers, you know, should be interested in how we're going through this process.
When do you want to implement this, the time frame?
Next week, we would have a first meeting with the committee. We're already going to issue the notice for a transaction advisor. The same for the concession. With some local content participation, which ought to be emphasized.
Because that's the next big question. Is it open to local companies with the capacity or to everybody else, regardless of whether you are local or international?
So what I am envisaging, but I want to leave that to the committee, is that there should be local participation. If a local company has capacity, that's the best. But if a local company does not have the capacity, but they have a foreign company with the capacity, and they partner with the foreign company so that they can be technological know-how and also there can be some value addition and retention. Albeit, it's good.
But what would that mean for the ordinary person? Because you are doing this ultimately for the customer. Now that you are handing this over to a primary player, how does that affect myself?
So let me give you an example. You have 40% losses, is that not it? So it means that 60% is what you're actually collecting. You know, revenue is a function of quantity and price. So if one fixed price, if the quantity is low, you get low revenue. If the quantity is that big and the price is slightly higher, you may even get more revenue. So if you come up with an improved system where everybody is brought into the basket, just like taxation, then you can lower prices or lower the tax threshold and still achieve more revenue because compliance then becomes higher.
What happens to ECG's workers?
The workers will still work, and some of them work with these companies.
Would they be mandated to work with ECG staff?
They will be mandated to work with some of the staff.
Can you guarantee that there will not be job losses at ECG?
There should not be job losses.
And the should is...
They should, and I would...
Should is not exact.
As minister, I want to assure them that we'll do everything it takes to ensure that there are no job losses.
But that
it must not lead to job losses.
But that means actually what you're saying is that you can't guarantee that there will
I be job guarantee losses. That there will be no job losses.
So you guarantee there will be no job
and
losses.
And I guarantee that there will be no job losses.
You heard there the Energy Minister, John Jinapo, speaking exclusively to my colleague, Evan Spencer. And that full interview will be airing later today on PM Express or the Joy News Channel at 9 p.m. But you heard two key things being raised there by the Energy Minister. We now have confirmation that ECG will be broken up for private sector participation in a concession arrangement. Now, government will open a competitive bidding process for private companies who want to participate to submit their bids. Now, that will mean that ECG as a company will become a holding, whilst these individuals, the private companies, will now be in charge of managing the country when it comes to zones. Now, let me bring in Dr. Ni Dakwasandi, former PURC board member. I also have with me Enoch Paul Hayes. He is Deputy General Secretary for Public Utility Workers Union. Thank you, gentlemen, for your time. I'll start with you, Enoch, because PUWC, as a company, you have raised concerns about this. You're concerned about ECG and how they plan to privatize the sector. And this has been a concern for a while. I just wanted to find out from you, looking at the approach that is being proposed by John Jinapo, is it the right approach for you?
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Rakshali. My greetings to all your listeners, especially to all ECG workers. So like you rightly said, you heard the minister saying from the beginning that he had issued event with the IPPs currently, and they had to do with some payment that should be done. And then he's even pleading with them to have some negotiation with them. And, you know, just like trying to jump the challenges that need to be solved, and rather giving some easier solutions that would not even help us. With the kind of approach they are still going, is just what they were criticizing when they were in opposition about the PDS deal. And this is where we have problem as Ghanaians each and every time. When they stand somewhere, they see the whole thing differently. But when they get involved and they want to have certain benefit, they change their language. The fact is that if you want to put ECG into certain segment and then give it out to some private sectors to manage, and you are asking them to collect them the revenue based on the megawatts power they have been given, the bulk power given, there is so many things ECG has already done as a company. For example, he's talking about the boundary metering. We have done all these things. We have put some infrastructures in place. This is the road to go. All that is needed is what we call strong leadership role with clear and very distinct measurable measurement and also KPIs to anyone that you want them to achieve this. What you are giving to the private man to do it, can't you give to the same person you have appointed to do that? And why do you want to believe that it should go to the private sector before these things can be done? And look at it, look, you, when you listen, realize that he was not so sure of the job security of the workers. Shoot. And these are private people. You can't force them.
But then the bigger problem really about ECG is about funds. Money is not coming in, simply put it that way. And that's why government wants to ensure that when it comes to the collection of funds, we have a private individual who's in charge of that.
So we said it over. What is the challenge in area of ECG not receiving revenue? We said it over and over. The challenges are very simple. Number one, the price of the energy we are taking from the IPPs is on the high side. It's very expensive. Ghanaians cannot afford it. They cannot pay. Number two, we are saying that we cannot just buy the thing in dollar and then sell it in cedis. It's not feasible. Nobody can do that. If we like, let's try it. Let's give some example of what we are talking about. This is what we keep seeing. It's not feasible. We have to address the issues where it should be addressed. Not trying to sell it. Okay, we're giving an example where he's talking about how much money that is coming and we are not able to take. And he mentioned the loss is 40%. It's not true. Let's stop giving the dog a bad name to hang it. All the things that have been said are very clear.
When you say it's not true, what exactly are you contesting?
We are contesting the losses. They are just mentioning that are skyrocketing. For example, you mentioned the powers that are not, the power that is not stable. And you ask him a question about it. And he's telling you where they have to meet the IPPs, negotiate with them, talk to them, and for them to have. That is what we are expecting certain things to be done. And you are talking about engagement. Mm. In this aspect, you met the committee. We came out with certain proposals, which we also believe as major stakeholders who have been here for all this while, that these are the challenges that need to be resolved. Nobody's listening to us. But it's just like we are bent on dividing ECG, the whole ECG sector, into four segments and give it to each. Listen, you hear what he said? I'm telling you today, let's everybody should just follow it up. And the whole Ghana should listen to us. That what they are doing is to go back and buy this state organization, this ECG for themselves. Today, I am telling you, in the near future, you see them becoming the owners of this company. When they were in power, they cannot manage it. Because the same people say they cannot manage it.
But what is your fear, really? Because the minister has assured that you will not lose your jobs.
Who will not lose his job? Okay, so the same way, telecom. When telecom was about to be sold, they told us that nobody will lose his job. Now go to telecom. Check how many Ghanaians are working in telecom. The same way when Ghana Airways was about to be sold, they told us nobody will lose his job. Go there. Go and check how many Ghanaians are working there. And this is what they keep telling us. And you are in Ghana.
So you're fighting for your personal interest. This is not about personal. The national interest.
This is sometimes it is disheartening. You are a Ghanaian. How many Ghanaians today working in electricity are not really working? It's just to tell us that somebody will be is profit over if a private person want to do something. And he really want to come to the terms of making money. He wouldn't care. He would do everything he wants to just make money. And that is not what we are in for. Don't forget that you're a Ghanaian. Look at the number of people working. At the end of the day, what we are looking at is that how can we sustain these state-owned institutions? Don't forget that apart from we paying electricity bill, there is so much of the social part of electricity that every Ghanaian should enjoy. And that is what we keep telling them. They have a responsibility. As government, you pay tax. I pay tax. Some of the money should be used to, in any way, in any form, the money should be to subsidize our energy. And they should do that. Stop looking for the easy way. They should go back, look at how best to solve it. If it is injecting capital and putting certain measurable and then KPIs for those who are in charge and those they have appointed to work and tax them.
Thank you so much, Enoch, for joining us. He's Deputy General Secretary for the Public Utilities Workers Union. And I'm handing over to Evans Mensah for Newsnight.